You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Watt Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer any of your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. When you call the show, you'll be connected to the radio live. If the call continues to ring, it means that somebody's ahead of you, and just call back in a few minutes. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about the WAN Institute. The WAN Institute currently offers instruction on the principles of communicating with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills and the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. Currently, the WANT Institute is gathering. We offer private sessions. We have ladies groups. We're trying to work to get a man's group. We have a male facilitator. And we can help with all your needs if you want to just call the office. The call-in number is 949-723-0338. And email is info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. And please check out our website, www.drpatallen.com. We have some free streaming videos of Dr. Pat Allen teaching the tools, which are very helpful for individuals. So again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. So I want to introduce my guest, and he's also a facilitator, Andy Shaw. Andy, are you available?
Hello.
Hi. Andy's has a past with Dr. Pat Allen. I know a lot of people may have seen him in the LA seminars and the Orange County seminars. He helped me set up the rooms for years, and he also took Dr. Pat's classes to become a facilitator. Do you want to tell them a little bit about you, Andy, in case they haven't listened to the past radio?
Oh, goodness. I met Dr. Pat in 2013, and I was there for every Wednesday for months and months before I kept offering Sue to help, to work, to do whatever she needed to help with. And 6 months later, I started working, and I think 8 months after I started, I was in the classes, and Dr. Pat has changed my world.
For the good? What did she
much better.
How has she helped you with changing your world?
Language. Learning to talk.
Yeah, how does that impact your relationships, work or personal?
Well, words carry energy, and when you change your words, you change the energy when you're talking to people. And it's the difference between I need this report and I want this report. When you need the report, needs are not going to kill you, so the brain kind of ignores it. But if you say I want the report, then it'll remind you at a more appropriate time, say 11:55 before it's due at noon. So just the world of difference in how your mind accepts the words and what it does with those words when the time is right.
The way Dr. Allen, we call it potent communication, and I always use the example she uses. If somebody came up to you and said, I would like to buy your car, or somebody came up and said, I want to buy your car, who do you think is going to want to, who's more the one that you would prefer, that is more interested in buying your car? It's probably the one that I want to buy your car. So that's called the potency of her communication tools. And, she's got the stroke and stand, the five-step cleanup, the validation, and those are all taught on our, we have a streaming video. It's like 2 hours long on our website, www.drpatallen.com. And hopefully, Andy's my tech he's my tech guy. Maybe we can put some more videos up. Do you have any other videos in your archives? Remember we had the one, Watch Your Mouth?
I'd have to look. I don't know what I have anymore.
I know we have Lifetime of Love. I think that's available somewhere. We have so many audibles.
Yeah, I'm sure we can dig up something.
Okay. So we also do call-in questions, and we also do email questions. So if you're not available to call in, you can send me an email at the office at info@drpatallen.com, and I'll read your question. I have somebody wrote a question in. It's a little lengthy, but I'll read it as best I can. It says, my question tonight is, I married my husband for financial security, so I guess you can say that I wanted paid. Fast forward, a year and a half later, that isn't what happened. We had a failed business and we tried to make a go of it. Right when we married, we gave it all of 8 months, but he had about 1 or 2 years into it before he married me. In the mix, in his mind, he thought by adding me to the mix, we could really make it work and make lots of money. We just couldn't. I take some of the blame too. He wanted me to make cold calls from the beginning, but I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the confidence to do it. Now what? My question is, why do I have resentment towards him, thinking we would have this successful business together? I don't feel any financial security whatsoever right now. I do love him. However, I wanted that financial security from him too. At the end of the day, we both married for money, to make more money. He does love me and enjoy making love to me. He finds me sexy. He's very affectionate. He loves it when I dress up for him and look sexy. Do I now become the feminine and he is now the masculine? He reached out to me first, by the way. He currently pays the bills, but he would like me to get a part-time job to help with some of them. We are joint on everything that we have. Well, reading this letter, I'm finding out you're still the feminine because he's directing you what he wants you to do. He had the business and he wanted you to be the caller. So you followed his lead. He's paying all the bills from what I hear. However, he's not having enough money to make the ends meet. So as a married couple, he's asking his partner, which is you, to take one for the team and go out and make some money. You may not like that because you wanted to be financially secure with him, but it seems that's not the case right now. As far as him being the masculine, I see he's still finding you sexy and desirable, so you're keeping your booty up, and he's falling in love with you with his eyes. However, I hear your resentment. There's not much you can do. Because I guess from what I hear, he's doing the best he can. And there's a principle. You either accept him the way he is, which is he's not making enough money to financially help you be comfortable, reject him and move on to another man who you can have more financial stability, or tolerate. And right now I hear you're tolerating it. And that's why you're teeter-tottering. If he's 51% valuable on the worst days, he's a keeper. And I don't hear he's doing anything illegal, immoral, unethical that hurts your body. So that's also a sign. So maybe you might want to give yourself a time. I'm willing to help financially get a part-time job for 6 months to see if I feel better. You know, you set your own increments on comfort, and then evaluate it. In 6 months, you can do 3 months, 6 months, or a year, and reevaluate whether this relationship is still comfortable enough for you to continue. That's my input. So, Andy, what's your input on this?
Well, I've got two. I agree with you on the relationship side. I don't really have anything to add on that just yet. On the business side of the house, I do have a master's in entrepreneurship, so I know a little bit about business. And I'd say the failure is a good thing. You know, the entrepreneurship says fail early and fail often, pivot or pursue. So while the first one didn't work out, the second one, third one, fourth one might. And I'd say keep working on it. It's the same thing with your relationship. Keep working on it. Keep communicating. Keep talking. you know, do your relationship contract, figure out, this is a good one for time, space, money, and play, and figure out what you want and don't want. You're the feminine, so what you do not want, then what you do want. And then figure out where your deal breakers are. But there are resources, we can talk, this isn't the domain for that, but there are resources available for business side that I could direct you to. And then on the relationship side, just keep talking. You know, say what you want, say what you don't want. Use your stroke and stand in the moments when things are uncomfortable. Do your amigo talk. And I think you will succeed if you communicate.
Okay, and maybe he'll have to consider a different job too. Maybe he'll have to consider getting a different job to keep his commitment on being, you know, her financially secure. I mean, life is an up and down thing. One thing that Pat always says is relationships are a risk. You do your part and hope to God they do theirs. And sometimes the other person fails. But then, you know, you may fall into another one who may be not as good as the one you just left. So there's always a risk involved. So
yeah, remember, don't leave angry, leave bored.
Okay, that's a good part. Or with empathy. Like, yeah, you've given it all you could. You've done through all your solutions, and now you feel sad about him and the situation. Because if you leave angry, you repeat the pattern.
How do you know when you're done? Apathy and empathy. You know what they have, you don't want anymore, and you feel sorry for them.
Uh-huh.
If you're not there yet, stick it out. Learn the lessons. Learn to communicate. It matters, and it matters a lot.
It does. So you said something about a business thing. If you could send that to me, I can forward it to this person that asked the question if she's interested.
Sure, you bet.
The business part. So
yeah, I can think of four things that will help.
Okay.
One, in order of granularity.
Okay, that's great. So you were talking about the relationship contract item. I think that is time, space, money, and play. And Dr. Allen does teach that. It's on the video stream on our website, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. And Dr. Allen suggests all couples do that before they marry. And you do it for the first year every 3 months. The second year every 6 months. And then from year three on, you do it once a year. So you can learn how to do that. And if anybody needs the sheet, just email me at the office. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Andy and Sue. Do you have a question?
Oh, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say hi. Sue,
oh.
It's Andy. This is your old friend, Helen.
Oh, this is how your voice. And you remember
how I haven't talked to you guys in a long time. So I was listening to the show and I was thinking about how much how Pat's work has just been so amazing. I've been listening to your show, and I used to go to Pat's show in Orange County and sometimes in Los Angeles. And she's helped so many people, and so are you.
Let me ask you something. Are you in a relationship, or what's your relationship status?
I'm in a relationship now.
Are you using Dr. Pat's tools?
Well, yes. Using Pat's tools, I've learned how to use the tools, and I'm still learning how to use the tools, because sometimes when I don't use the tools, I lose the relationship.
when you tell us an example of what's the one thing you learned from the tools, because that you have to keep in your mind is your toolbox.
Well, the latest one I've learned, I find that stroke and stand is a fantastic tool. Because it actually helps to slow down the conversation and give at least me a little time to not escalate and use my knee-jerk bad habits of of responding masculinely. So I'm trying to use
what's your knee jerk habits from the past?
My knee jerk, let's see, was actually saying things that I think that the other person might need or want to hear. But not asking for permission or checking for convenience if it's a good time. Sometimes I think about what I am thinking about and just talk about it, and it's not usually expected or warranted or invited. So I have to learn how to be more careful and respectful of the, and more understanding of the person I'm speaking to.
Kind of like, yeah, Dr. Pat says, keep your yang mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly that.
That's what I'm hearing. Exactly, you've got to give too much information and direction to the other person.
yes. I do that, and I have to modify that. But the other thing too is doing the stroke, right?
Yeah.
Thinking first about what is good about what the person is, you know, saying or doing or representing or you know, whatever it is, and letting them know that they're valued and appreciated.
That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just going in and giving them the information, the stroke and stand is you appreciate everything that about them. Even if you disagree, you appreciate, and then you tell them your point of view or your wants and not wants, and then you try to make a contract or negotiate. So it will be a win-win. So, yeah. So the stroke and stand is, it's basically you have a right to, and then your stand is I want or I do not want, and then the contract is I will or will you. So it works very effectively. I do a woman's group, and Mondays and Thursdays, I have women that I help online dating and guide them through the online dating. And some of my ladies have been with me for like a year, and they started with some guys, and their men, the quality of their men is getting better and better. I know, Helen, you popped into one or two, and you've experienced my ladies' groups.
Yes. And the ones who return consistently get the best results, because they come back after you've given them some guidance, after they tell you a situation that wasn't turning out so well, and you advise them or give them another way to handle the situation. And then they come back the next week and they tell you how it worked out. So it's mm-hmm. great to have consistency with you.
I have, I think, one or two girls in steady, committed relationships, but they still go into their old habits. So I keep them on track, because it takes like 6 to 8 weeks to change a behavior once you're aware of it. So they still slide off to their masculine controlling habits, but I keep them on track. That's the beauty of doing a group, is that it's consistency. It keeps you on track. Even myself, I can't see what I'm doing all the time. I need other people to help me as well. So, Andy, you want to say hello to Helen or ask her any questions?
Hi, Helen.
Hello, Andy.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Nice to talk to you.
Same here. Hey, actually, I'm going to be in Orange County. I'll give you a call after the show.
Great.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling in. We always love people calling in with testimonies too. When we have callers, we like them to call back and let us know how it's going. And if you want to just call in and say hi, you know, and give us a testimony of how Dr. Pat helped you, we accept that as well. Please feel free. And the call-in number is at 323-203-0815. Thank you, Helen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye. You remember Helen, huh? She used to come in all the time with the little flowers or kumquats and stuff.
Oh, of course. She's hard to forget.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, she's got a nice man. So I'm happy for her. And hopefully, you know, I think she's been with them like 6 months. So it's
really
interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
And she's always learning. Like she said, she's always getting new information. You don't learn this stuff right away. So that's always good too. So are there any topics or any examples that you have from your side, from your friends or social network that you want to go over?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I learned this stuff for the last 12 years.
Okay.
And I still catch myself almost on a daily basis, you know, saying I need to do this. Oh, no, I want to do this. And it's not a race. It's a marathon.
Yes.
And it's baby steps. And we're you know, I was talking to Dr. Pat talks about it, how the brain works, right?
Yeah.
Do anything for 3 days, it starts to build the spark in your brain, right? It starts to build that inroad. Then 30 days to softwire a habit, and then 60 days to hardwire a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what book that talks about that by chance?
Oh, you know what? I'll have to look it up in our book list. It's on our website. I think, is it The Brain That Changes Itself?
Ooh, I don't know. I have to find out. I'm going to look it up.
It was something about the brain. It neuroplasticity. It changes when it be. Yeah, I thought it was that. I thought she talked about that a lot.
Yeah, we're talking about good martial arts, right? We're learning new things. And, you know, as you learn it, you get new skills and new katas, new things to learn. And the energy's there, so you want to do things fast.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing with this stuff, right? You want to go fast, you want to go good, but slow is fast. It's the same thing in rock climbing. You're building your neural pathways.
Okay, yeah.
So that when, as you do things, even though it feels slow, when the time comes, that pathway is already built and you can do it faster.
Okay, yeah. A lot of people want it. They want one session and get it in one session. That very rarely works.
Yeah, I wish it worked that way too. It certainly didn't work for me.
That kind of brings me to a pattern of another person that emailed before. She broke up with a relationship that was totally online. And then when she finally met him, he lied and scammed her. And now she's, you know, there's a big drama going in. And she thought he was the love of her life. And the number one I told her is, when you do online dating, you cannot fall in love with a mystery man just talking to them or being online. You have to physically meet them to see if there's chemistry, and you have to physically be around them to see if their words match their actions, because anybody can say and do, you know, tell you the right things you want to hear. But you have to physically be in their presence to watch them to see how they operate. Are they mean to the waitress? Do they, you know, or how do they treat you when you're one-on-one? So what would you say about these people that are doing these online dating? They don't meet these people for 6 months and they're already in love, planning a marriage.
Well, I like Dr. Pat's rule is no more than 2 weeks.
I don't remember her saying that, but you do have to meet, because people fall in love with the bio, and then when they meet the person, there's no chemistry. You have to have the chemistry, and then you build from there. So, fortunately, a lot of people, they do this dating apps, and they just text for months and months, and maybe that's what they're looking for. I don't know, but I try to get my ladies to go and meet them and hopefully go out with 3 dates a week. My ladies do not like to go out. Oh, the guys are weird, blah, blah, blah. Dr. Allen's duty dating is you go out with as many men so you learn how to date and you know what you want and don't want from a man by going out with all of these men. So what's your point of view on duty dating, Andy?
Well, I think it's practice. Even, you know, I agree with you, people are uncomfortable dating. And even just trying to get somebody out, I just want to text, I'm comfortable. Yeah, I know you're comfortable, but that's not life. Life is uncomfortable. Life is messy. Life is weird. And that those messiness, those weird moments, those, you know, when you're trying to say the right thing and so you use some other strange word, becomes part of your culture when you're together, because now the strange word means something new, that an experience that you two share. And then that's you build on those strange, weird moments, those strange words. You don't get that in text messages, because text messages, you sit and think, and it's not in the moment. You're not weird. You know, you're not scared. You're not nervous.
Yeah. And you're not being vulnerable. Well, I don't know. Would you say you're more vulnerable in person or on a text message?
Oh, you're far more vulnerable in person, but that's where love is.
Okay.
And that's where true love is.
Okay. That's a good point. That's good to know. I'm just, there was something flashed through my mind. When these ladies are doing the online dating, go in with the assumption just to have fun. Don't look at the outcome, because when they're in the date, they're already trying to find out if he's the man they're going to marry. You have to get to know him and hopefully go on at least 2 to 3 dates, because everybody might be a little weird on the first date, put foot in mouth. So it's always good to go out maybe 2 or 3 to see if there's some chemistry. And most of the time, my ladies are picking with their eyeballs. They want the perfect man. And then they're, you know, Dr. Allen calls it blemished. I can't go out with him because he wears white socks. Sometimes, you know, you could have a diamond in a pile of coal, and you just have to chip it away to find that diamond in that coal. You know, a few extra pounds, you could work and cook him nice meals and lose the weight. Don't be too picky on choosing your men, or you'll end up single. I have a lot of women that waited too long and were too picky, and now they're getting desperate, and it's sad.
Yeah, there are no perfect men, just like there are no perfect women.
I mean,
we're on this planet. Like, none of us are perfect. Everybody has an issue.
Has something. That's true. And I know that the online dating makes it hard, because a lot of the people are on there just to go serial dating, next. Some of them are not interested in relationships, but there are, I would say, probably 2 out of maybe 50 that are serious. You just have to keep plowing through. It's a numbers game, and you have to do the work. I have some ladies that go out on dates 2 to 3 times. They find somebody, they date them a couple months, and then sometimes things happen where he's not, she finds out the true him, and it doesn't work out, but she's back out there doing it again. And her men, the quality of men are getting better and better, because she's seeing what she'll accept and what she'll reject and what she will not tolerate. So
yeah, those red flags start to become detours instead of suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's watching him. And when she sees signs, that's one thing I get a lot of ladies. Well, he does this. Well, I can't change him. We don't change anybody. If he is the way he is, if he doesn't like calling you a lot, that's probably the way he is. And I don't know if anybody could change him. Speaking of which, so let's say, Andy, a lot of the ladies, you know, the guy says, you know, he's got kids and stuff, so he's busy with work and stuff. And he tells the lady, oh, I'll call you later, but he fails to call her. And what would you suggest? And he does that probably once a month, and it makes her mad because she feels like she's not cherished. And I just tell her it's that accept or reject. I say you can tell him it hurts your feelings, but he may still do it.
Well, I mean, technically, when you say you're going to call somebody later, later could be now to 10 years from now. It's still later.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of it that way.
I mean, but that is probably the first level of cruelty, where you're evasive because you're not sitting down in time, a day at a time.
Okay.
Like, I tell people, if you can't put it on your calendar, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
And you can't get mad at something that doesn't exist. I mean, you can get mad at it if you want.
Okay. But
do you get mad at ghosts? No.
No.
This is a ghost.
Well, but also when I know that person, and let's say they're always consistently late, and I tell them, you know, oh, are you sure you're going to be on time? And they're still late. I tell her, you know, it bothers me, but I know that is that person. So I accept her the way she is. without changing her. So I'm just asking you, is that the way that relationships should be?
Yeah.
If you know that is him, that's his quirk.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm paramilitary. So like I had a buddy when I was 18. I still have a buddy, same guy. And he was consistently an hour to 2 hours late. And that was fine when I was 16, 17, didn't have anything to do. And then all of a sudden I'm home on leave and I have a minimum amount of time. And I tell him, look, you know, if you're not here within 15, 20 minutes max, I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
I love you, but I'm leaving. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And the first time he was that late, I left. And he's like, where are you? I told you I was going to leave. That's the price tag.
Yes, the price tag. You can talk about that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of this is deciding, you know, the stroke and stand is a baby stroke and stand without a price tag. The stroke and stand with a contract is a price tag. And you have to decide whether, you know, in the course of deciding if they're acceptable or rejectable or tolerable, you have to make certain decisions to get to that point. And those points are price tags. Is it worth this relationship? How much frustration is it worth?
Uh-huh.
And if it's, you know, worth a lot of frustration, then stick to it. If that frustration has a tipping point, then you can talk to them and say, hey, you know, I've got things to do. And if you're not there by such time, I'm calling it. That's it. I'm going back home.
Yeah.
You know, do you think you can be there by then? Because you're routinely late. And they'll either say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, now we have a question of, do you love yourself enough to keep your word?
Mm-hmm.
And if you love yourself enough, then you're probably going to love me enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start making those decisions, and that kind of gets us to our accept or reject
mm-hmm.
Decision point. So I have some other friends that recently I asked what I could do for them, and they wanted me to drive 2 hours to go pick up some water and some snacks for them.
Oh, gee.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. That was my cutoff point.
Uh-huh.
And literally, they were 15 minutes from home, but didn't drive.
Oh, like, okay.
You can get an Uber, get home, get your stuff, come back and do it 4 times. Before I ever even get close to your house.
Or have that Uber delivery thing or whatever. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that makes the nature of our relationship in a better way for me.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, those contracts, those price tags.
The price tag. And I know you said that I'm going to bring up a subject. When people say, they always ask, well, should I leave? And I never tell anybody they should leave. They have to leave when they're ready to leave. Even under any circumstances, they have to make that decision. However, it's best to leave when you're not angry, because when you're angry, you're still building. When you're like basically bored and you feel sorry for either him or the relationship, you can leave. So that way you can move on to the next one. Now, a lot of women, they're angry and they keep the anger going, trying to get him on board to do things right because they don't want to lose him. So they just keep a mishmash of drama. So it's actually, you know, and they're always struggling. I'm trying to heal, but there's always drama in there. That's the dopamine high from the negative lovemaking. So what's your scoop on people that enjoy dopamine rushes or the negative love? They have to have drama to feel or think that it's love.
They have a right to it. Uh-huh. They have a right to their pain. And people will change, I have found, when they're ready to.
Yeah.
And when that pain level becomes too much, then you can ask, well, are you ready to do it a different way?
And a lot of times, yeah, that's when I tell them, are you ready to take it to crisis? Because once you make a stand and do a price, the price, if you continue to do this, is I have to leave. You may have to leave. And they're not sometimes willing to do that. They want to be in the relationship, but they want it to change, but they're not giving any price tags for behavior that they don't like.
Yeah, speaking of crisis, I was looking at the Man's World and Woman's Universe.
Uh-huh.
In the book, it talks about, I found that in relationships, a crisis erupts every 3 months or so that spins the relationship significantly forward or backward.
Okay.
And then it starts going into different phases.
And what's the phases? Does it say or give us a brief outline?
It does. It says the perfect phase. If this phase were a season, it would be summer.
Okay.
And you feel warm and malleable to each other. The chemical attraction is strong between the two of you. You both look right to one another, dress right, talk right, and your manners are correct. Everything is perfect. Then you have the imperfect phase. This phase occurs right after a perfect phase like autumn. People who have any fear of vulnerable intimacy usually like to abort the relationship during this period. Chemistry goes away and everything seems wrong. You're messy, ugly, and stupid. And then the negotiable phase. The two of you face the winter cold, hard facts about each other. You decide whether or not you're 51% valuable, worthy, and deserving of a chance to negotiate a compromise. And usually the four areas of negotiation are money, mine, yours, and ours. How do we handle it? And who does the handling? Space, should we move? How do we handle big maintenance items and chores between us? I recommend not living together unless you're engaged or married. Time, my time without you, your time without me, our time together with them, and our time with them. What activities do we want to participate in, and which do we not want to participate in? Flexibility and role behavior is the best mode. Alternating masculine leader roles for feminine follower often helps relationships to balance energy. Play. This includes sexual and non-sexual activities. When filling this one out, it starts with, I don't want you to, ...
Mm-hmm. This is like the relationship contract item, basically. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
It is, yeah. But this is where these are the things we talk about when we're in the negotiable phase. And I've had learned something the hard way, which is,
what?
When you're with that person and you're talking about the future and, you know, they are not saying yes, they're not talking with you, but you still hold out that hope.
Yes. Is that good or bad? Is that something people should consider doing or know when? There's really no time we can tell you to cut your losses. It's when you're ready.
Right. But what I found is if they're not saying yes, the answer is no.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a hard lesson to learn, at least for me.
Okay. Because you stay when you probably should have left. I've learned that lesson. I stayed longer than I should have.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm more in the next relationship. I'm like, I'm not doing that again. And I know what I did wrong. I don't point the finger at him. I know where I went wrong. Look what you're doing wrong, not at what they're doing wrong.
Right. And they have every right to be exactly who they are. God bless their hearts. You pay attention to what they're not saying. And pay attention to what they are saying.
Yeah.
And believe them every step of the way. They're telling you who they are. Believe them when they tell you, I'm a player, I'm a whatever. You know, insert the blank here. And say, okay, I accept you at your word. Do I like you enough to stay or not?
That's true. Yeah.
And, you know, those questions they're hard questions, but those are the ones that get you over the humps and get you through intimacy.
That's true. So, yeah, we've got about 10 more minutes. Hopefully we'll get another caller. We love having callers. 323-203-0815. And remember, you can always call the office or email me, and I do answer quick questions if it's just a quick question. If it gets into more of like I have to dig for questions, I charge you a session. And I do have a ladies group that I'm a drop-in one, but in July I'm going to have it structured because I'm starting to get too many ladies in the group. So I have to limit it down to like four in each group because right now I've got like seven or eight and it's getting too much work to answer everybody's questions at once. So if you want information about my ladies groups, just email me or call the office, and hopefully We're going to send out some newsletters on all the stuff we want signing up. And Andy, I don't know, he's a male, so we don't get too many male callers or listeners. But if you know your boyfriend or somebody that might be interested learning this stuff, Andy is available and wants to start some men's groups. How will you format your men's group, Andy? I know it's kind of catching you off guard. What do you think men need to know? We teach all these women, but from a man's, what would help a man with Dr. Pat's stuff?
I like the knowledge of how brain works and then working from there. So if you know, the whole left lobe, right lobe thing, men are in the left lobe and in the right. Left-handed men are in both, just like women. The corpus callosum. And there's a concept of, okay, you've told me this, but I don't believe you. You know, where's the proof? And so, you know, maybe start with a little bit of science. But honestly, I'm just going to ask, what's your biggest problem?
Okay. So then, I usually start off asking them about getting them information on the male and female, because everybody seems to want to be 50-50. And a lot of men now have been coddled, so they're into the women chasing them. And then I get the women that are mad because the men don't chase them. So the masculine women get the feminine men and don't like it. And the feminine men get the back and forth. The masculine women get the feminine men and do not like it because they're not assertive. And the feminine men usually get the masculine women, and then they're still, the women are, they're mad because he's not assertive either. And the women basically want to get a masculine man, but they're competing. They're just the same as he is. So the man doesn't want a competitive partner in his relationship. He wants to come home and play and have fun, not compete. Oh, we have a caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I have a question about what you were saying earlier about not being too picky. How do you pick, like, a guy when he comes up to you? Like, how are you evaluating him outside of, like, how he physically looks? Like, are you how he's talking or what he's talking about or where he lives or...
You give him at least, I mean, Dr. Pat says go out with anybody unless he's wearing an orange jumpsuit because you know he's in jail. So you give everybody a chance to tell their story. Women fall in love with their ears. He might not dress nice and he might look dumpy, but when you talk to him, you like what he's saying. He's got a nice house, a nice job. He wants to get married and provide for a family. That sparks your interest. That's how women fall in love. So if you're just going by superficial, an idea of the perfect man, you're probably not going to get him because you might be too picky. Andy, what would you say about that?
I'm going to quote a paragraph, as I so often like to do, from the Answers book.
Okay.
Page 55. Here's the issue. You will have more success in getting a real relationship if you pick someone with their ears. Try going out with at least one guy with their ears and date him at least 3 times. Let me tell you a secret. The guys you pick with ears, the guys who really listen to you and say things that make you feel special, are more likely to cherish you, are usually more moral and ethical than the guys you pick with their eyes. Bottom line, they're more committable and funky, though frankly, they will get cuter the more you let them love you.
That's a good quote. So I get a lot of people that have the ideal man in mind, and they don't want anything to do with anybody that doesn't fit that profile. So are you having a hard time going out with men?
No, I just I don't do online dating anymore because it just seems harder to pick what you're like. I don't know. It's harder. You just go by what you see and what they're showing you.
Well, I always tell my ladies to look through the profiles and see the ones that want serious relationships or marriage, the ones that want the same. If you're finding ones and you say just dating or not sure yet, they're telling you right there. You're not going to change them. So that's the first thing. And then look through their profile and see if there's some interest that you like. I mean, if he's a fisherman and he wants to be in the water all the time and you like the land, you might be incompatible. But if he does hiking and maybe you like running, that might be a little compatible. Find something in a profile that you have something in common, and then you build from there.
Okay.
And you want to try and get them to the phone ASAP. The online dating is just a funnel. You're going to have to go through probably 15 men before you get a date. And then you get, it's a funnel. You try to get them to the phone. You know, you do a couple of chats and you say, you know, try to get to the phone and then meet. I always tell my ladies to meet at a coffee shop, because a lot of them don't want to go spend the time for dinner and dinner gets complicated. So meet for coffee to keep it casual, to see if there's chemistry. That's what I always guide my ladies. And then from there, you just appreciate and be feminine and receptive. And if you have a good time, tell them, I had a great time. I'd love to see you again. That signals him you're interested. A lot of my ladies don't signal men, and the men go away because the men think that the ladies don't like them. So the women have the power to draw the men in, but I'm finding they don't.
There's a T-shirt that says, if you're flirting with me, please tell me.
Yeah, a lot of my ladies go out on dates. At the end of the dates, they say thank you, and then they go, he never called you back. I said, well, did you say anything nice about the date? No. I said, well, how does he know you had a good time? Well, isn't he supposed to chase me? I go, not if you're not signaling him. You like him. Men don't like rejection. They like to have some signal. Like we call it drop the hanky. Way back when, you know, the women would go by the man they liked and drop the hanky. And the man would pick it up and come over there and the woman would, you know, bat her eyes. And that was the flirting. He knew that she was interested in him. That's what women, we still want to encourage.
And this sets up mind reading, which we do not do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Communicate, talk.
Yeah. But if you signal the man you're having a good time, he's more likely to call you back if he knows he won't get a no.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably be shocked if you talk.
And remember, men like happy, fun women. So if you go in there and you've got a frown and you're just sitting there, you know, with no energy, talk about yourself and what a great life you have. You don't have to wait for him to give you the interview questions. You can speak up and talk about yourself and what a great life you have. That intrigues men because they want to be part of that fun life you have.
Yeah, we want to add to your life. We don't want to take away from it and don't want you to take away from ours.
And men don't want to really have to go in and make your life. So they want to make you happy, but you have to be happy with yourself first, and that's what they look for a woman.
It is so infectious.
Is she happy? Does she have a fun life? And when they see that in her energy field, we're all vibrating energy. Law of attraction. What you think about comes about. If you feel, oh God, I got another date, he's going to feel that. You have to go out and say, I'm going to meet another person. I'm going to see where it goes. Your energy field has to be positive.
Even if you fake it.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah.
Act as if until the feelings follow.
Yeah.
We don't know the difference.
I have a lot of women the first couple of dates and I say, I see the perfect man, but they have all these flaws, you know, well, he works late and they go out with them and they're shocked how much they really did like him. But they were so pre-programmed to pick the unavailable men that they would not give the good, boring men a chance. And Dr. Allen talks about that. She says, a lot of women go with chemistry, which is really a sign of familiarity. You want to go desensitize with the boring guys you're not attracted to till you become more comfortable with them, because they're the ones that are going to be the best partners and want to be in committed relationships. So if you keep getting in relationships where the man is avoidant, goes away, lies, cheats, and hurts you, that's your picker. I call it the picker. Does that help you, caller? We're running out of time.
It does. It does help me. Thank you.
Okay, call us back. Go out and try and do an online dating. And, you know, you can join my call. Email me at the office and I'll give you a Zoom thing to join my ladies groups. I'll help you get out there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyway, we're running out of time. This was a good caller. Yeah, I know the online dating is hard. I can't do anything about it. It's just, it's work, but, you know, like you said, Andy, what was it you said? You have to go through the work to do it?
Yeah, even benefits, just legwork.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for joining me tonight, Andy. And we want to thank everybody for listening and calling in. And we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you, Sue.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.